Welcome to episode 7 of What the Football, brought to you by Game Time, the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all of the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. Game Time's got killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat. You will know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account. Use the code WTF for $20 off of your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account. Redeem the code WTF for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Amy Trask, we are 1 week away from the trade deadline. Okay, so here we are. And it's 1 week from today, 4 o'clock Eastern. What exactly is the deadline? Is there a real deadline? Like, take us behind and explain what really happens.
It is a hard deadline this year, as you noted, a week from today. So it's not trick or treat. It's trick or trade because it falls on Halloween. It is a hard deadline. In order to make a trade before the deadline, you've got to have everything essentially signed, sealed, and delivered. And by delivered, I mean delivered to the league office before that deadline. But Susie, there's been a lot of debate for a lot of decades about whether the trade deadline should be as early as it is. And these discussions go back to my years in the league, and the season was shorter. So even when the season was shorter, there were a number of team owners who were advocating behind those closed doors of league meetings, push the trade deadline out. To have it after week 8 makes no sense because the, you know, players are going to get injured, teams are going to have needs. But there were other owners who were absolutely opposed to that, saying, no, we don't want fire sales towards the end of the season. We don't want dumps towards the end of the seasons, and we don't want players being scooped up for a game or two. And that was a very, very serious, it was a healthy debate. The deadline wasn't moved. And by the way, there can be a compromise. It doesn't need to be after week 8. It also doesn't need to be week 14. You could split the distance and have it after week 10, especially now that the season's longer. But these debates went back decades.
Yeah, you would think that they would move things around now that the season has changed a bit. And sometimes the NFL can be inflexible, but it seems to me like that would be the perfect thing to push back.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we see that happen at some point. Again, even going back to when it was a 16-game season, there were a number of owners pushing to extend it, a number of owners against it. But now you've got that extra cushion of games.
You know, Rich earlier on the Rich Eisen Show, and you can find this on YouTube, on the Rich Eisen Show page, he had the top 5 guys that he would go all in for the trade deadline. I'll throw these out at you. He had Justin Simmons in Denver. Of course, the captain could be on the hot seat. Like, he would go all in for him. DeAndre Hopkins from the Titans. Brian Burns, the Carolina Panthers D. He had Derrick Henry. And by the way, if I am shopping and I'm going out there, what I wouldn't do to have Derrick Henry on my team. So he, for me, would be number one. For him, he had Saquon Barkley. And it's funny because Jerry Jones just today on Tuesday mentioned that he likes to sit back and wait for teams to come to him. He wants to sit back and get entertained. He mentioned he had a great terminology. He called it the initiation of an opportunity to make a trade, which I've never heard before. But what is that like? Like, what's your take on Jerry Jones saying that he wants to sit back there and wait for people to approach him to improve his team?
Well, first of all, from a business standpoint, that's just really smart. You don't want to be the person asking. I don't have issues with that. A lot of others do. A lot of others say you want to be the person who's being approached. And clearly, that's what Jerry was saying. And I love that Jerry said it as only Jerry would say it. And let me tell you something, Suze. During my years in the league, I learned a lot of expressions in those league meetings from Jerry Jones. I've never shared this with anyone before. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
We're at a league meeting and Jerry stands up. Because when you talked at league meetings, you stood up. You either walked to a microphone or you just stood up and roamed around while you spoke. Jerry walks up to the microphone and he's speaking and he uses the expression lick log. We don't want to lick log anymore. Or we need to stop lick logging, something like that. And we're all looking around like, what the hell does lick log mean? I actually, you know, asked, what's lick log? And Jerry then explained in the room what lick log means. It's where you take a big log and you cut it like a trench in it and you fill it with water and animals drink out of the log. But I just want you to know, I learned the expression lick log from Jerry Jones, and he always came up with great expressions.
I wonder who would be the lick log for him right now. I mean, I wonder who he would sit there and take the phone and say, I want to have this conversation. I wonder who the player is that would be most enticing for Jerry Jones. That's such a great question that
well,
I have no answer to.
And maybe he'll, and look, I'm not suggesting it. So Cowboy fans, take a deep breath. This is not inside info. But maybe Jerry will do what Al did. maybe someday Jerry will trade for a coach.
That's very true. What was that like?
When Al decided to trade Gruden to Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
I was, my husband and I had been advocating against the trade. I didn't think it made sense to trade him. Rob and I are out of town. We get home one night. We're walking in the house. We've got all our things in our arms. Landline rings. Yeah, kids, Google it. We had landlines. Landline rings. It's Al. And all I hear is blah, 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 trade John Gruden. And I said, no, no, no. I've been telling you, I don't think we should do this. And he says to me, you didn't hear me. I just told you we did it. Click. So that's how that happened.
Oh, well, that happened. What was Al like around deadlines?
You know, the trade deadline wasn't of particular importance to Al because most of his trades were pre-draft. He was always looking for that extra draft capital or to looking to exploit a team that wanted extra draft capital. So a lot of trades were before the draft. And one in particular that resonated with me was Kirk Morrison. Kirk Morrison grew up in Oakland. He went to high school in Oakland. His dad was a season ticket holder. Kirk bought his dad season tickets. And when we traded Kirk, Al did something that I just thought was magnificent. He called Kirk personally. And, you know, a lot of times people forget you're not trading a commodity. You're not trading a thing. You're trading a human being. And many times these people that you are trading have significant others who may have jobs in the community in which they live. You may have children in school. And players, Suze, I don't know if a lot of people know this. If you're traded, you may have less than 24 hours to get your gear in a bag and get on an airplane and get to the new team. So if you're traded on a Monday or a Tuesday, you're with your new team by Wednesday. And these are humans, not commodities. And Al knew that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one thing that you talked to me about when we were talking yesterday was about this personal side of it. Sometimes I think that women have a different experience because we have, I don't know, maybe a greater emotional depth to get to. But I think people forget just how personal the side of these trades are. There's families involved. There's schools.
You're absolutely right. Of course, families. What do you do? You're now traded to a team 3,000 miles away. Your kids are in school. Your significant other may have a job that can't be left at that moment. Do you bring your family with you for the remainder of that season? Do you just sort of tough it out and live on your own for that season? Now, look, I get it. These are, as my nephew would call them, champagne problems, because you're flown back and forth by the team and you're put up immediately in a nice hotel room and you're not bearing any expense for a new apartment right off the bat or a new house. So I get it. You're well taken care of. But there are human factors of leaving behind a significant other or children.
You know, Taylor Swift said that too, right? Champagne problems.
You mean my nephew didn't invent that?
Can you believe it?
Joe, I am coming after you.
Travis's girlfriend.
Joe, you told me champagne problems. Actually, your dad did, my brother. And I didn't know you lifted that from Taylor.
Such trouble. I have a real treat for you today. We have a great guest. We got quarterback Killa, QB Killa coming on the show today.
I'm going to talk to him about kittens.
I thought that you would love that. Warren Sapp joins us coming up next here on What the Football. And honestly, I want to say this about Warren Sapp. I remember, like, you know, and I'll mention this to him too. You know, when I covered him when I was at ESPN, I thought this guy's got to be the scariest guy in the world. Getting to know him has been such a treat.
He's a pussycat.
And when I reached out to him to say, Warren, can you come on? Sometimes guys are like, they don't get back to you. You have to go through their, you know, their PR people or their assistants. Boom, right away. What time you want me? What time?
Oh, wow.
He said to me today, I set 3 alarm clocks to make sure that I wouldn't be late. So that's the kind of guy that Warren Sapp really is.
I had his back when he was a Raider. I will always have his back. And he may not like me sharing this with you right now, but I'll share it with him as well. He is an absolute pussycat.
Yeah, there you go. So Warren Sapp joins us next on What the Football. But first, I want to talk to you again about GameTime.co. You know how frustrating it can be to find the perfect tickets for a game or a concert you've been dying to see. And like I tell you guys this all the time. When you have a lot of kids like we do, like Rich and I have 3 kids, you know, you ought to make sure the seats are right. You got to make sure before you get those seats that you can actually see the field, see the stage, what have you. And I love about GameTime is that you can go there and you can check out the view from the seats because I don't want to screw up. I mean, I love the app. It's easy to use for even an idiot like me. You can see everything, and it doesn't pull any punches. You know right up front what goes all in with cost because it's expensive to take your family to an event. So I want to make sure it's worth it. It's the perfect solution to finding tickets to satisfy everyone, and I love that they have tickets and deals right up until like an hour after whatever it is that you're going to start. It's the best place to find those last minute tickets. So download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code WTF for $20 off of your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account. Redeem it. WTF. That's what the football people. Do I have to spell out everything for you? Good Lord. For $20 off, download Game Time today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guaranteed.
Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports. The number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick two or more players based on their stats and place their entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks, boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards, or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am, boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code PIGSKIN. That's code PIGSKIN at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
All right, as promised, Warren Sapp joins us here on What the Football. Warren, where are you? What is happening? Send me the pages here because it looks like a hurricane is brewing over your shoulders.
No, it's just a hurricane on the screen. It's just a little Texas storm brewing around me. I'm in Austin. I went to the F1 race this Sunday, and it was absolutely fabulous. And then the people I'm with decided to stay a couple extra days and play golf. That's what I got.
So you're really slumming it, I can tell. Let's talk about this.
Oh, yeah, horrible life I live. Somebody's got
to
do it.
For everybody who's listening to this, Warren's got a full mohawk going on. So, like, what's happening with the look going on? I kind of love it.
All right. I got to tell you what happened. I went to the barber in December. I had a full head of hair because I had just let it grow everywhere because I just didn't care. And I wasn't going to see the kids for Christmas. They told me, Daddy, we're going somewhere else for Christmas. So I just let my hair grow out. And you know, it's around my birthday, which is 6 days before Christmas. So I was really looking like a woolly mammoth. I mean, covered all the way up. So my girl looked at me and was like, really? You're just going to go through your birthday and Christmas looking like this? So I go to the barber. And he said, what you want me to do with this? And I'm like, give me a mohawk. You know, because I've had braids, bald head, fades. I've had every hairdo you can have except this one. So I said, I'm going to go do this. And she'll be mad at me and make me cut it off. And then I can start all the way back over again. Walked in the house. She was like, I love it. I'm like, oh, jeez.
Hey.
So now you have the story. So that's why I have a mohawk now.
Well, I think your mohawk looks terrific, Warren. This is Amy. And hey, it is so good and so fun to see you on our screen.
It's been too long. What is the most powerful woman in sports doing nowadays? She ain't with the Raiders.
I am riding on Susie Schuster's shoulders and joining her on this podcast. And by the way, Warren, I do plan on sharing a mushy-gushy story about you.
Oh. That'll be all right, because, you know, not a lot of those stories exist or old at any time of the day.
We're going to get to that in a minute. I got to ask you, first of all, you're wearing a lot of Buffalo's gear. So last time you were on Rich's show, and that was about a month ago, you mentioned that you were undergoing a process within yourself and thought about maybe it would be a good idea to join Dion's staff. What's the update on that right now?
I'm still in the process. You know, college classes don't go as fast as I thought they did. I thought the 21st century had a lot of instant this and instant that. College is still college, so I got to do a little work. So I don't mind the work because the work I want to put in is well worth what I got to go through right now.
Walk us through this, Warren. What are you taking in college right now? And by the way, I think it's just incredible that you are back to school.
Oh, no. This is just general studies. I'm not going for a degree where I'm trying to save anybody's life or cut a heart open or sew up an artery or do any of that. I'm teaching you how to go get generational wealth for your family at being a pass rusher and a disciplined defensive lineman and a college graduate, because I'm not going to have them in the same position I am when they turn 50 and they don't have that degree.
Warren, everything you just said has me covered in goosebumps, because that which you just shared is not only wise, it is so important. And I'll tell you right now, those students, those athletes will be lucky to have you as a coach. That was really magnificent. And you know what? I am going to share that mushy gushy story about Warren Sapp right now, because as Warren said, there's not enough of that out there. Warren joins us with the Raiders. Shortly after he does, I get a call from Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundation, with which I work, or with which I was on the board. Do you have an athlete who would sit and pose with us with some rescue animals, and we can use it for our celebrity, you know, calendar? I walk up to Warren. I don't know Warren well. He's joined us recently. And I said, you know, Warren, would you pose with some dogs and cats? Doesn't hesitate, says absolutely. After practice, Warren goes right over to where they're shooting them. Warren had taken off his shoulder pads and his helmets, but he's there straight from practice in a jersey. And they put little kittens all over Warren. They put kittens on his shoulders. They put kittens on his head. They put kittens on his lap. And we all know kittens have those really, really, really sharp little claws. And those kittens were going up under Warren's jersey, down his shoulders, up his sleeve, hanging onto his neck with their claws. Warren didn't flinch. He didn't budge, and he sat there for an hour with those kittens crawling all over him, and he saved dog and cat lives, and I will always love you for that, Warren.
Oh, thank you very much. I had a good time with those little cats. That wasn't bad. That ain't no worse than any double teams I've been in for the last 13 years, so trust me, those cats was a nice change-up for me, and it was going to be a beautiful pitch in a calendar. There's no way I wasn't doing that. I mean, that's too easy.
Love you for that, and I also love the idea of a kitten double team.
I love you back. Love you back.
Warren, what's the biggest misconception about you, you think?
That I'm not a nice guy and I don't take pictures. Or I don't sign autographs. You know, I'm a home training kind of guy. And I want anybody listening to this. When you see the big fella, it's very easy. Only thing I said, Mr. Sapp, may I please? And now we good. But this, can I? You know, are you willing to? I didn't know my willingness was in question. I thought it was your ability to ask the question and the way you were taught to ask the question in a nice, courteous way. That's all.
I think it is interesting really that you say that. Place. But, you know, you said
I say thank you, please, all the time.
Oh, I love
all
you.
All the time. All the time. I say it so it diffuses that is a 6'2", 300-pound man in front of you saying, you know, may I have this, please. You know, it kind of, you look at me and, you know, it's a strange word, please and may I and thank you and excuse me. You don't hear it very often. So when you do hear it, you perk up to it. So when I hear please, I'm like, oh, not a problem. Thank you very much.
I do think it is crazy how many people will walk up to an athlete and just shove a piece of paper in their face. It's not.
No. How about the slapping on the shoulder? How about the, hey, how you doing? Like, really? like that's assault in 49 states.
I have to say, Warren, you know, it's funny. When I was a kid and I was working at ESPN, it was right when you first started with Tampa Bay, and I would cut a lot of VO of you. And, you know, look, I thought you were probably scary. I mean, you scared a lot of quarterbacks, right? So I didn't know who you were, and I could have had a misconception. And, you know, I've known you for 15 years or so.
Think about this, though. Think about this. I've been retired longer than I played, and it's not third in the lot, and you're not an NFL quarterback. So you are not in danger.
I used to cut those videos, and I used to think, what it must be like to be on the other side of Warren Sapp coming down. That had to have been terrifying.
Well, you know what? I think there's a couple guys you can ask, but I wouldn't know what it's like. I wouldn't want to do it, because I tell all the gentlemen that I'm coaching, just imagine if I asked you to turn around and block yourself coming forward like you coming forward. You'd tell me to go F myself, wouldn't you? And they look at me with that little smirk on their face. So I'm asking they're asking a worse athlete to do it. So I need you to have that same look on your face when you go around. Do you understand what I'm asking?
So you bring this back to coaching, and I'm curious what it's like for you now. Because I remember when you were on Rich's show last time, you mentioned that people weren't in your pockets yet. People weren't really digging into your pockets, wanting to get that information from you. So what's it like now having players who are thirsty to learn from you? Because it kind of plays into that whole idea of maybe you'll go coach with Dion. But what's it like to have this wealth of information and have these kids so hungry to learn?
The scary part is coming up with something new. So I got to dig. I gotta go study. I gotta go do what I'm doing, and I gotta lead them a certain way when I'm giving them messages and different things to go look at. That's the challenge for me now, to go back in this old brain of mine and dig it out. And then I'm digging into Marinelli and some of the guys I used to play with to recall it, because it ain't that fresh to me anymore. And then when me and Marinelli talk and we get to going and sending messages back and forth, I get something new. And then I have something new to send to them. So what I'm doing is resourcing what taught me, and I'm teaching them what I learned, because the game ain't changed. It's 104 years old, and I promise you, it ain't gonna change much from where it's at right now.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows. You know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Warren, I am team please and team thank you and team you're welcome. And hearing you say that and that you pass that on to others is magnificent. I actually wrote an op-ed for the San Francisco Chronicle called The Lost Art of Saying Thank You. So I love you for so much. I love you for sitting under the kittens. I love you for please and thank you. And I will add, I never, ever, ever saw in the years Warren and I were together with the Raiders, Warren say no to anyone who graciously approached him and asked him for an autograph. He said yes every time. And I'll share one last thing with you, Warren. You know who else adored you? Al Davis, because the quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard.
In the first five plays of the game, the quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard. The words of the great Al Davis. I do love that man. I mean, I do. Everything about him. Everything about
him. And he loved you.
What's your best Al Davis story?
We just didn't win many games.
What's your best Al Davis memory, Warren?
What'd you say, my best Al Davis story?
Memory. What's your best Al Davis memory, story? What you got for us?
Sitting week 17, I went into his office to tell him that would be my last game, which was Jamarcus Russell. First thought, we were playing San Diego in week 17. And we were sitting in his office, and we was watching Randy Moss and Tom Brady going for the records, 50 touchdowns, and Randy Moss breaking Jerry Rice's 23 touchdowns. He had 25 that year. And I was sitting there with him. and Tom threw one of them deep bombs to Randy, and Randy ran underneath it. And he turned and looked at me, and he said, Mike Lombardi said he couldn't run anymore. I say, what? It's always Mr. Davis to go back and say, I had that young man right here. How did I not see that go up and down my field? I loved him for that, because he was always the competitor, always talking about how he could better the Raiders. And it was just a pleasure to sit with him and watch that second half of the game and watch him eat 11 French fries. The man, the myth, the legend. I'm just glad I had an opportunity to get that close to him, and he allowed me to sit there with him and watch football. That was one of the greatest memories I have. In the NFL, is sitting watching Sunday Night Football with Al Davis.
Watching football with Al was special, but I am so glad you referenced those French fries.
Yeah, tell me more about that. What do you mean 11 French fries? I don't know what you're talking about.
That's what he does, 11 French fries. I mean, give him 11 French fries, though, he will lose it. It's like Obama with the, what is it, 7 almonds that he ate at night or something like that?
Yeah.
Al was like that with his fries.
He'd count out his French fries?
Well, someone else would.
Somebody else would. You had to bring him 11 French fries. 11 fries.
Warren, who wasn't a Raider that should have been a Raider? Like, you were born to be in those colors and in those stripes and wearing that helmet. Who wasn't a Raider that you think should have been?
John Lynch would have fit. Derek Brooks would have fit. Mm. Rondé Barber would have fit. All my Hall of Fame teammates would have fit, no doubt about it, because we love the game. And when you love the game and then you get near Raider Nation and there's 26 stores up and down California and everywhere you go, the hotel is full with the fans. I was like, boy, I had fun in Tampa, but boy, this would have been insane. But I won a championship with the Raiders. That's insane. That's like stupid legendary. I don't begrudge my time in Tampa, but boy, those 4 years of Raiders really gave me an idea of what it really meant to have a nation behind you. Like they always talk about Cowboy Nation, Raider Nation. Yeah, it's real.
Yeah,
it
they all
absolutely real.
All those other teams stole the word nation.
I know. It's Raider Nation all day long and twice on Sunday.
So what do you think is going on with Raider Nation now?
We got the wrong guy at the helm. We're trying to implement something that is dead. The Patriot way is dead. Bill Belichick even knows it. The Patriot way is dead, and Josh McDaniels trying to recreate something that he doesn't have the credentials for. He's not Bill Belichick. We watched him do this in Denver when he drafted Tim Tebow and ran the Broncos into the ground. He's going to do the same thing in Oakland. What did Maya Angelou say? When someone shows you who they are the first time, believe them. Josh McDaniels is not a good football coach.
That reminds me of the old they are who we thought they were going to be. Isn't that Denny Green? Who that was?
Yeah, the old Denny Green, baby.
Yep, yep.
What, we're going to crown them?
Yeah, crown there, huh?
They are who we thought they'd be,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's a bad Denny Green, but you get what I'm saying.
No, buddy, we got it. We got it, baby. We can see him up there. God bless Denny. Denny was a good man. Denny's something. Tony Dungy. Thank God.
Very good.
Four picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? We shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were.
Loved
it.
That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
But he wasn't mad at all. But he wasn't mad at all, Warren. He wasn't angry at all.
What time for Diddy Green, baby? What time for Diddy Green?
So crazy. I want to ask you a question about modern day coaching. How would you mm-hmm. approach the tush push? How do you teach young guys to defend that?
Don't let them in that situation. Don't put them on your one-yard line, and then you won't have to worry about the tush push, the brotherly shove, or whatever they want to call it. Whatever they want to call it. Because I used to, get asked all the questions about, the end zone celebrations. Don't let them in your end zone.
Don't let them in.
You got to worry about them dancing. You got to worry about them dancing. Don't give them 31 on your one-yard line. You ain't got to worry about them tush pushing. Come on, man. Play better D. Play better D and shut up.
So you're still friends with Gruden, right?
Yes.
And you said McDaniel's the wrong guy. I'm curious, what's Gruden up to these days?
Hey, just sitting in the lab in the FCCA, the Fired Coaches Convention of America. He's just sitting there watching the tape, being extra critical more than anything I've ever seen. He's fired up about ball, but I think he's in a good spot right now. He's almost, done with whatever the thing going on, and we're about to get a decision out of that, and he'll – we play more golf when I get him out of that damn place.
How's your golf?
Better. I shot an 87 the other day. I was ecstatic. 42, 45.
Wow. You know something? I've never in my entire whole life played golf.
You've never? How?
It's just, I rode horses, so that's what took my time. You can't do both.
Yeah, but I would get to be invited to be the token girl playing golf. Like when I was covering
golf.
The Lakers, I would constantly get invited to go to golf tournaments because they just needed a girl, right? And so I'm good for a scramble. Warren, if you need me, I'm around because I can hit the crap off a tee.
But I'm never the one that gets that does the invite or pays the money for the thing. I'm normally the celebrity,
No, you and Marshall, I know. I always say this to Marshall Faulk, and he's always like, oh, babes, I get invited. I'm like, dude, take me with you.
Yeah, that's what we're telling you. We're the one that get invited, and we tell them we're bringing somebody else. They're going to like, we had three. We had four. You're the celebrity. It's kind of... Yeah, they kind of dig. They do it wrong. Golf is one of those, button up sports. They don't like to break the rules.
They're snooty.
That's probably why I don't like golf.
No, they're snooty.
Yeah, they don't like to break the rules. There has to be a foursome, maybe a fivesome, never a sixsome. Like what? Come on, grow up.
I love to break rules.
I know you do.
Me too. I got a couple written against me in the NFL. So yeah.
What's your favorite NFL rule to break?
The one when they were telling me I couldn't go through people's stretch, but I didn't get a chance to break it. They made it after I left. I didn't get a chance to break it. And nobody else gave me that opportunity. Even Tampa even switched the side. They stretch on. They switched it from the north end zone to the south. I can't warm up running out 5 yards. I gotta have the whole field. Let me get some extension.
You think that the quarterbacks are too protected these days? Are we treating them like with too much of a white glove situation?
I think the quarterback is overpaid today because what we paying some of these guys, I don't see the wins and the yardage and the touchdowns going up and down the field. I mean, Daniel Jones, can you justify that money?
No.
My goodness. Holy smokes. I mean, it's a couple of quarterbacks that's due the money, but, I mean, once you lock in your quarterback for that kind of money, how do you get the other people around him to make the team whole?
So what about you? Like, if you were playing right now, who is the quarterback out there right now that you feel like I could destroy this guy on every single snap?
Warren, before you answer that, I'm going to say he could destroy most every quarterback on any given snap.
He is QB killer. Well, yeah.
I got a better answer to both of them. It kind of goes your way. They all taste like chicken. It doesn't matter. You know, but there's some out there that I know will present a challenge. Like, I mean, Pat Mahomes is just, mm-hmm. I mean, he was a magician down in Tampa. And if Tariq Hill catches that ball that he hit him between the eyes with, we got a different Super Bowl being played that day. And Josh Allen is one of the, you know, I call him the unicorn because he's just special in every way, shape, and form. I mean, he's just able to do some very, very special things. And the Mr. Irrelevant looked like he wasn't human until Monday night last night. So, you know, I'd love to chase them all because they're throwing it 40 times. I mean, my goodness. Sheesh. If I had that many opportunities, I'd love it. But I get a little tired, too. But, you know.
Would you want to play now? Come back for a couple games if you could?
Like, no, because it's too much field turf.
Nothing.
Too much field turf. Too much field turf.
Interesting.
No, that's not the surface I want to play on.
So tell me why that bothers you. Walk me through this from an athlete's perspective, please.
Okay. Field turf is supposed to be a better answer to the rug, the carpet, the astral turf, right?
Right. It's Correct? Supposed to be an improvement over when I joined the league and it was AstroTurf. It was
yeah,
like
that's
people,
what I'm saying. That
they
was
painted green
better,
on cement.
Are you serious?
A better alternative Almost. To right. AstroTurf, right?
Right.
That was supposed to be the sale.
Right.
But the problem with that is AstroTurf, I can go put basketball shoes on and have a nice comfy, you know, bottom to absorb the shock of playing with concrete underneath the bottom. We knew it was concrete underneath the bottom, but you didn't fall on it like concrete. And the thing with field turf is with those little rubber pellets, you think it's solid ground until you stomp your foot down. And every time, watch any of these games, when Kelsey got ready to stomp his foot and go up the field, it slides underneath your feet. You think you're on solid ground, but you're not. And you don't know it until you stomp and get ready to go forward and you slide. And you're like, what the? And you realize it's the turf that's underneath your feet. And that's the worst thing for a football player is to not have solid footing or have a feel. That's why we used to yell at the vet because it had those little ribbons down the side in the different places where the bases were and different things. So, you know, we want a smooth surface. If you give me AstroTurf, it's a smooth carpet. Let's bang.
Let's go
for 60 minutes and we're done.
And here's a question for you about Oakland when you were there and there were games where it was still
infield
dirt.
Oh,
what were your thoughts? Okay, compare field turf with infield dirt.
No. Well, there was only two teams in the National Football League that had that, and that was us and the Dolphins. We used to root for the A's not to make the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, we used to root for the A's. Now, Amy knows this. We were rooting for the A's not to make the playoffs. Like, my God, can we have our field back? I mean, it's just that is you know you don't have solid footing. And when you get on it, you don't take off. You know, you play a little scoop game on the clay until you get to the grass. I mean, trust me, I had it all. I had it all. I played in the Astrodome and the Alameda that had clay in it. So I've had it all.
Your reference to the Astrodome, that was tough. That was tough. And in Oakland, when we hated that there was dirt in the infield, the A's hated that we were playing on the infield dirt, and they sent someone out between every single change of possession to water the dirt and rake it back down
to make it smooth.
Right,
yes.
Dude, what are you doing? Yes. We've got, you know, an hour and a half to play, and you're watering the dirt and raking it down after every possession.
Yep, Yep, because that clay has to be smooth for that ball to have a natural roll on it for you to, you know, not have a ball bounce and all of a sudden you got a single out of a, you know, a 4-3, you know, easy out. 6-4 out, and now all of a sudden it's a base hit, and now we got the pitcher scared, the pitching coach don't know what to call. You turn a baseball game upside down with one little boo-boo.
So if you were in charge of the National Football League, what is the one thing you would change then, Warren Sapp?
I like it. I like it. I really do. I would put two more referees on the field. That's what I would do.
Oh, I like that. That's fair.
Yeah, because you know the head linesman and the line judge don't move from the line of scrimmage when the ball is snapped, and it's 3rd and 17, and this guy is running trying to get a spot. There's no chance they're going to get the way they can spot this ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So let's put two more referees right at the first down marker and let them mark the first down.
That's a great idea.
We're playing a game of inches, and they're giving away yards. It drives me crazy every Sunday and Monday. I'll be like, come on. That ref is in no position to make that play, to make that call. He's not even there.
It's a great point.
That's the one thing I have.
Two more minutes with Warren Sapp. Okay, I can't believe I'm going to walk into this one, but I'm going to walk into this one. Ready? Rich said you told him there are three words on your forehead that people always want to read. He's like, I can't ask him that question on the Rich Eisen show. It's all yours. Warren, what are those three words?
There's a sign on my forehead that says F with him. And it flashes like Krispy Kreme, now serving hot. Now, ask your husband to give you the examples when he was with me, and then you'll have a better appreciation. I can't go into it. That's an everyday thing. All right, I got one for you. I went to Creamsicle Day Sunday in Tampa.
What?
They asked me to fire the cannons in the ship. I had never done this. So they asked me to, you know, go to the ship, watch the team run out, come out, you know, with some props or whatever. I got two swords. I'm looking like Blade in that thing with two swords. I got my old 99 jersey on, Creamsicle. But before I get to the ship, I'm inside the little hospitality room where I can get me a nice drink and enjoy a little pregame, you know, festivities before I go up and do a little work. A guy walks up to me. He says, you wear your own jersey? So I sat there for a second. I say, no, I normally put Brooks or Barbara on my back. like, what other jersey am I supposed to wear here? Really?
You're sitting here like, I'm not one of you losers who are coming here wearing a jersey because, you know, don't ask me how I feel about grown men wearing jerseys with other men on the back.
I can't say that. See, I want to say that, but I can't say that.
I just said that's it a good for
one.
You.
I'm not one of these losers that come in.
I always think, like, a grown man's going to walk into a stadium with another man's jersey on. It's a little weird.
I'm a grown man, but I'm a grown man with my own jersey on, and then this man asked me, do I wear my own jersey? The second question I asked him was, did you not see me out there on the field with it, with the shoulder pads underneath it and the helmet on? This is the one I wore.
Look, did you see this grass stain right here? It's because
this was mine. It wasn't an authentic game worn or anything like that, but it was my jersey that, you know, they had made again for me to wear for this occasion. I'm like, do I wear my own jersey? Whose else am I supposed to put on? Can you please explain it? Can you tell me this?
That is so insane.
I guess he kind of felt silly at this point because he was like, yeah, because the lady that was serving the roast, the tacos next to me, she bust out laughing because, you know. She said, his own jersey. Who else he's supposed to wear? And I guess it kind of dawned on him like that he was being a little, you know, out there. And I'm like, so who else am I supposed to put on? You tell me. You know,
Warren, before we let you go, a couple quick thoughts. One, that which you have written on your forehead is the same thing written on my forehead, you and me, same. Number two, I will forever, ever, ever thank you for letting those kittens crawl all over you. Number three, I love that we both say thank you. So thank you for joining us. And number four, I think any students and any athletes would be so fortunate to have you as a coach.
You know what? I love you so much, Amy Trask, for all the years you just kept me covered over there at Oakland. And the most powerful
woman. I did cover you.
And the most powerful woman in sports is not riding Susie Tail Coat. Y'all riding together, baby.
Thanks, Ray. This is my ride or die, my friend, QB Killer.
I like it.
Before we leave you, what are you drinking? Come on. Show me what you got.
I'm at Trez. Treaty Oak Distillery. And they have a blonde, because everyone loves a blonde. You know that.
Don't they really? Warren Sapp, will you please come back on with the football whenever
you want? Look, it even says
Oak in the
back. That's kind of cool.
You got to come back. You got to come back on this podcast.
Anytime. You got the number. Anytime you want some of this, you let Fat Boy know and I'll come through, baby.
Love it.
I would love it.
I'll always have your back, Warren.
You take care,
Warren Sapp. Love you both. I'll be good. All right.
Not afraid to say it. I love Warren Sapp. I can't imagine anybody that you want to have your back more than Warren Sapp. And now that I think about it, I think of somebody that I'd like to stick Warren Sapp on. Amy called me the other day after she got off the air from that other pregame show on CBS. And you talked to me about someone who tweeted at you and said to you the following: get a new hairdo. That's not flattering. You look bad. And it really pissed me off in a QB killer kind of way. Because I just thought to myself, how dare you, from your mom's couch, go at Amy for your hair. And Amy, you were really brave to go back and respond to it. But why did you?
Well, first of all, there's two people I would love to always have my back. One is Warren Sapp. The other is Susie Schuster. If I have you two at my back, I am good for life. I went back at him for the following reason. I was the kid who, from the time I can remember, from the littlest age, youngest age, grew up tremendously, tremendously insecure about my appearance. I still am, Susie. I always knew I wasn't the pretty girl in the room. The scariest thing I do from a professional standpoint is be on camera. Nothing terrifies me more than being on camera. And of course, I'm talking about in a professional sense, or scarier things in the world. But I really and truly am scared about being on camera. And I thought that if I shared what he said and I contextualized it and explained, I grew up with all these insecurities. I still have insecurities, that maybe someone else who's insecure might be a little heartened to know they're not the only ones with insecurity. I mean, you want me to stand in front of a bank and make a presentation for you and get you a $500 million line of credit? I'm your girl. That doesn't scare me. You want me to be on camera, which I am right now? It scares me. I'm scared looking at this camera right now. And when he went after me, I thought, you know what? If you had done this to me when I was younger, when I was growing up, when I was a tween or a teen, it would have leveled me. And it doesn't level me anymore. So if by sharing what he did and letting other people know we all have insecurities, maybe it helped someone.
You said that so perfectly and so succinctly, and I'm sure it made you feel like $1 million to see your Amy Nation, your Princess of Darkness Nation, come after this loser mongrel the way they did. And I think people don't really understand what it's like to put your face out there proverbially, you know, literally, figuratively. I totally get it. You know, Mike Del Tufo, who runs sound here, he and I have known each other for 25 years. And when I worked at Fox Sports, I was the only non-Playboy playmate. I had to get thick skin really fast. I still get thick skin. I mean, anytime Rich posts a picture of me on his social media feed, I brace myself first, waiting to see what's the one negative.
And you're stunning.
But you're sweet and you're nice. But like, you know, as one executive told me, I was a Jewish 9. And I said, what does that mean? Like an American 6? Like, you know, you get ready to deflect yourself from the negativity. And what I really appreciated was that you were willing to come on today and explain your rationale.
Well, you know, we just talked to Warren and he shares my view on saying thank you. So to answer your question, the fact that so many people responded as supportively and lovingly as they did was overwhelming. And I wrote back to every single one I saw saying thank you. Yeah. And some people think I'm nuts for saying thank you as much as I do. But Warren Sapp does not think I'm nuts for saying thank you. But Susie, every single person has an insecurity. And by the way, if there's a person out there that doesn't have any insecurity, either A, they're not being honest with themselves, or maybe they're a serial killer. Quite possibly. But if by sharing our insecurities with younger people can help them to realize that we have insecurities too, maybe it helps. And to those people that want to tweet or post or X or Instagram or anything, something like that, just don't. I mean, why do you need to be mean? Why is it helpful for someone to be mean to someone else?
Well, let's face it, it's because they feel bad about themselves, right? So that's the problem with social media. It's why I don't have a Twitter account, because it's toxic and mean and awful, and because it gives license and a megaphone to people who shouldn't have it.
And to that point, and you are a parent and you are a magnificent mom. Actually, I read best mom ever.
Yeah, I have a sign.
Yeah, you do. And it's well earned and well deserved. But the thought of what you have to deal with social media and kids now. I mean, look, when we were growing up, when you had a mean girl moment, when there was a mean girl in the lunchroom or the playground or the locker room, it stayed right there. Now someone's a mean girl, or in this instance last Sunday, a mean guy, and it's viral.
Well, I just hope whoever it was knows that Warren Sapp has had a couple, and he's breathing down your neck and coming for you. So hide, hide. Don't leave your room. I want to thank everybody for listening to this. We're really delighted that we are building together our own nation of What the Football listeners. It means a lot to us that you come back. And I would close today by saying, obviously, thanks to you, Amy, because you're my ride or die. And thanks to Warren Sapp for taking the time, and for everybody here who works on What the Football. I always say to Rich, if you have a platform, use it. So I will take the opportunity to say, just listen to what we had to say and be kind. Just take a moment to be nice. The world is in a crazy place. Be kind. Have a great day. Have a great week. Keep listening to What the Football, and we will see you next Tuesday.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you ask me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.